woods and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
To Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes State. WildMichiganRadio.com is our website. You can pick up the podcast. Visit our great, great friends in the outdoors, Michigan companies like Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, Lucky-Buck.com. Also, Darton Archery with their new 2017 line starting to roll out onto the pages of their website. You can visit it all at WildMichiganRadio.com and also pick up Costa Sunglasses there as well. A fine, fine product and good friends to have here on the show. Going to speak with Chad Stewart right now. He is the Deer, Elk, and Moose Management Specialist for the Michigan DNR. And we're going to get to the elk issue, the elk sightings in Clinton County and all over, going southward from the upper portions of the lower peninsula, and how that all ended up and the reasoning behind it, because there's a lot of people that are just really not sure what's going on with the elk situation here in Michigan and why it was so important to monitor. And once it got in that area, why, unfortunately, it had to be put down. But Chad Stewart is joining us here right now. I want to talk about deer with you, Chad. Welcome back to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Not at all. Always good to have you here. And this year, I want to talk a little bit about the deer check stations. Has that been successful? Because we've had the mandatory deer check in some of the areas here where CWD has been found, Clinton County, Ingham County, and surrounding areas. And from what I've been told, any success has been, a good success with this.
Yeah, no, we think people are in large part cooperating with some of the mandatory check stations around our CWD management zone. Obviously, it's required. It's regulated. If you shoot a deer in that 17 township core area, you have to bring it in. Of course, not everybody does, but we feel that compliance is still pretty good. We're getting a whole mess of deer coming in. I mean, we've tested well over, I think, 3,000 deer in the core area alone, and that's not including deer that are just brought in voluntarily outside of the core or even outside of the management zone. So we're getting a lot of really good numbers coming in. Obviously, we'd love to test as many as we could, and that's a free service to the hunter. So anybody that's interested in doing that in late muzzleloader here or late archery or late antlerless, we'd be happy to test your deer for CWD.
Now, there was some concern. We did a buck poll in Wacoosta, a very small town outside of Lansing, and there was some concern from some of the hunters. You know, it's like, look, I don't want to lose my antlers. I don't want to lose my head and all this other stuff. Fortunately, look, I'm a radio guy. I have a good grasp on what's been going on with this, but my good friend Mark Esch, who is a taxidermist, was there, and Mark is very up to date on what was going on. And he was there and able to help the hunters who had questions in regards to their antlers and, if I want to get this thing mounted. He was there to help them, and I think that was really helpful. But again, to those who don't know or who may not be visiting their taxidermist to get their deer mounted, it's a very simple process, and you're not going to lose anything.
No, absolutely. And we certainly appreciate, you and Mark and stuff, taking the extra time to explain that. And we try to get that information out. It just doesn't reach everybody. But no, obviously, if you shoot, a buck of a lifetime and bring it in, we're not going to put a sawzall through the head of your deer. We want you to have that opportunity to mount it the way you want to. And whether that's a shoulder mount or a European mount or whatever, we want to have you the opportunity to do that. But we still need to get a sample. So we're willing to work with you on it. Bring the deer in. We'll record your name and information and give you a tag to take it to your taxidermist and have them cape it out. And then just simply bring the rest of the head back in, and we'll get the samples that we need, and everybody's happy.
Yeah, it was, I mean, to see these guys, I mean, they were very concerned. I'm like, look, I can give you some information. Mark's here. And then what was really nice is they ended up getting their deer done with Mark. So, again, rather advantageous to be there at the buck pole. But, again, to really calm the nerves of some of the people that, you know, wanted to participate but didn't want to lose what they had.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. We really appreciate that. But we have not damaged the mount at any of our check stations. That's one of the first things that we ask a hunter before we put a knife to it, before we put a saw to it. You know, what are you going to do with this animal? And if they want to do something special with it, we want them to do that, and we'll make arrangements to get it from them another time.
Now, to date, we have, what, 8 or 9 cases confirmed in the state so far in this area?
Yeah, we're up to 9 now. We've had 1 hunter harvest deer this year test positive.
Okay, so all in all, not bad, but that one seemed to be outside of the area where we initially found CWD.
Correct. Yeah. Overall, the numbers are actually really good as far as number of positive deer compared to samples that we're getting. You're right, though. The one that did test positive was now in Eagle Township, and that's a township that we haven't identified CWD before. So I would anticipate probably some additional expansion of these zones going into next year because of that case.
It's concerning, you know, just when you think that, you know, maybe it was tied to one bloodline or one core area, you have this one pop up in a completely different spot. And right now, there's probably no real answers or ideas as to why yet.
Well, you know, the one common denominator through southern Clinton County is that Looking Glass watershed. And, you know, studies have shown that, and most hunters know this, that deer are going to move along those corridors, especially in a very intensively agricultural area. So this is not to be, I guess, unexpected. We would expect that this disease is going to sort of move along that corridor. We just try to, right now, I think, affect the rate of spread of it. So certainly if any listeners are along that Looking Glass or even Grand River corridor, even outside of the core zone, bring your deer in and get it tested. We'd love to have it tested. We'd love to get more samples along that western front.
Now, Chad Stewart is with the Michigan DNR. He's joining us here on Wild Michigan. Chad, how many do you have a rough estimate? I mean, we've had special permits given to hunters for testing. We've had special permits given to landowners in some of these core areas. But there have also been other sharpshooters, air quotes, getting people out. Is there a number as to how many deer have been taken in the off deer season?
Yeah. You know, I think this year I'm trying to look at some numbers here real quick. I think they've taken almost 1,000 deer, I think, just from Wildlife Services, who does our sharpshooting. And that's in that core 17 township area. Now, all those deer are coming from basically a 2-mile radius from where we have known positives. And really, this year, we've only been focusing on Meridian Township. We haven't really been doing any actions out in Clinton County whatsoever. But certainly we're going to revisit some of those sites going into the winter because we need to still get more samples from those areas. And those guys are really effective at removing positive deer. Right now, if you don't count that first deer that we found, 5 of the 8 of the positive deer have come from the sharpshooting techniques, whereas only 3 out of, you know, almost 4,500 deer have come from hunters. So they're way more efficient at picking up positive animals.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, out of curiosity, and a lot of people ask this question, what is done with the meat if a deer is tested negative for CWD?
Well, it depends on the time of the year. You know, going into this winter, we try to work with a local processor and Sportsman's Against Hunger, and that meat is donated. And last year, we donated, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but, you know, several thousand pounds of venison.
Sure.
That goes to support the Sportsman Against Hunger program. We can really only work with that after the hunting season when the weather's cold. In the summertime, because some of these guys are shooting, it's 80, 90 degrees, the deer will spoil just way too quickly. It would interrupt their activities too much.
All right.
So a lot of those get incinerated.
Okay, Chad Stewart's joining us here. It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Chad, of course, with the Michigan DNR. We'll be right back.
to everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors. Thank you from Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, a couple of days removed from the 75th year after the attack on Pearl Harbor, not forgotten by any stretch. And those men and women who we lost on that day, that those that continue to serve, we greatly appreciate everything you did. And every day, this is the cool thing about coming into this studio to do Wild Michigan is every time I come in here, I look at, there's an American flag, and I kind of smile. I kind of smile when I see it, because I know that the people that are out there, protecting this country, are giving us the opportunity to hunt, to fish freely, and move about the country without question, man. And we thank each and every one of you as we go on. Now, our good friend Chad Stewart with the Michigan DNR joins us right now. And Chad, I tell you what, There's been a lot of talk of this one elk that has gone from northern Michigan down to Clinton County in the almost southern portion of the state, and it's been kind of like watching a Robin Hood or a runaway person that the crowd is pulling for. You know, we were all pulling for it, and then earlier this week I got the news that the elk had to be put down, and there's a lot of questions. A lot of people want to know why. I know why, and I understand it, but there's reasoning behind it, and I want to share that reasoning because you have that information.
Yeah, and, part of me was with you, too. I thought it was really cool to see this guy moving around, and I'm certain that he brought a lot of excitement to local communities wherever he passed through. Ultimately, he landed in our CWD management zone, and he kept moving around there. And of primary concern, he landed really right in the heart of dairy country. And some of your listeners probably are aware that much of the elk range does overlap where we have bovine tuberculosis up in our deer herd up in the Northeast. Now, we don't feel that it's completely established in our elk herd. We haven't had an elk test positive for TB in several years, but we have had elk test positive before. So really, the combination of factors that this animal could potentially have TB, and we have seen a spike in TB cattle farms up in the Northeast area this past year. We've actually had 6 positive cattle farm test positive for TB this year, which is more than what USDA will allow. So the combination of that coming down to where we have CWD and not really knowing where the margins of CWD are, mentioned in a previous segment that we just found it in a new location this year, led us to make the really difficult decision that instead of taking any risks with this animal, either contracting or already having TB or CWD and spreading it to deer going back up and transferring it to elk, or exposing cattle to TB, we felt it was the right call and the safe call to put the animal down.
And look, as much as I love wildlife and I love elk and I love everything we have here in Michigan, we get to be sometimes, unfortunately, on the front lines of what's going on. And I'll tell the story about speaking with Dan Eichinger and Drew Youngdyke the day we found out about the very first case of CWD in a non-fenced facility here in Michigan. I was talking with the guys from MUCC that day. They looked at me and they said, well, it finally happened. And, and I had to wait, of course, to say anything about it, but and now we're living with it. And it was sad to see this elk put down because everybody's cheering for it. And, we've got people responding on social media. Well, why didn't they just take it back? Or why can't they just move some cows down here for it, as in cow elk? It's not that simple. We all want to think simple with this, for a solution and a happy ending. But it's not that easy.
Yeah, ultimately, at the end of the day, what we are tasked with is protecting not only the interest of natural resources, but really some of the agricultural industry that interacts with the natural resources. And sometimes you have to make decisions in the greater good of the entire population, but would obviously affect one individual or a few individuals. And this was one of those cases. We knew that the likelihood of this animal having tuberculosis or CWD was low, but we felt that it was a risk we simply couldn't take, because if we were wrong, the results would be devastating.
Sure.
Absolutely devastating to have CWD spread by an animal either back up to the elk herd or elsewhere in the state that we have to combat, or to transmit the tuberculosis to cattle. It would be absolutely devastating, and it would the repercussions would be far greater. So really what we're doing is minimizing ourselves or eliminating the potential for a worst-case scenario.
Yeah, it was sad. Look, and by my guess, my estimation, just by looking, what was it, like a 3.5-year-old bull, something kind of young?
Yeah, I actually haven't seen the age on it yet, but I would say he's probably in the 2.5 to 3.5 range, yeah.
Yeah, I was just, again, looking by antlers, he didn't look to appear to be terribly mature. And, you know, and what makes, what gives him the wrong way Feldman effect to get away that far away from the herd?
Yeah, and I think that's part of why a lot of people were probably rooting for this guy. You know, he's probably just a loner that's on the move to find his own little harem of cows to call him, you know, to call his own. And, you know, who wouldn't want to root for a guy like that? But ultimately, you know, he was going the wrong way. There was nothing, there's no elk for, you know, several hundred miles yet until he keeps going to Kentucky. So ultimately, he just sort of started wandering around and wound up really in one of the worst spots in the state that we couldn't not respond at that point.
Sure. Chad Stewart is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Now, can we find out through DNA testing, will we know for sure that he was of our wild herd of elk?
I'm not sure if they've gone to DNA testing on it. There were we've certainly been tracking him really throughout the summer. We've gotten reports. I'm going to miss some counties, but you know, certainly Isabella County, Clare County, Gratiot County. I mean, we followed him the whole way down. We did some checking with some of the individuals that are in the captive cervid industry. They certainly did not report any missing elk. Obviously, when the animal was on the ground, we did a full inspection of him. There were no ear tag holes or anything like that. So it certainly indicates that he was one of ours.
You know, again, you kind of root for that one guy. You know, it's like watching OJ get away from the LAPD. You know, and I know that's kind of a weird comparison, but you know it's wrong, but you're kind of rooting for him anyway. You know,
I'm sorry, Durant. It was a really difficult decision to put him down, but one certainly we felt like we needed to make.
Now, here's the other question. The other question coming from the listeners and the people on social media is again, you know, it goes back to, okay, if it tested negative for all of that, what did they do with the meat?
Yeah, and that's something that's a completely justified question. Ultimately, we wanted to do our due diligence on this animal. So the animal did go to a full necropsy to our lab just to make sure there was nothing hiding. Okay. We weren't going to miss anything. So we could not save the meat on this guy.
All right. Chad Stewart, appreciate your time. Safe travels out there, man. And thanks for all your hard work here with the Michigan DNR on Wild Michigan.